Hello and welcome again to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, and we encourage you to continue tuning in here to the Verse by Verse Bible Teachings, because we know that the Word of God is the ultimate tool in changing our lives and getting us to conform into the image of Christ. There's several ways you can listen to these messages. You can come by the Wash and Word. We're located on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're in the Powell Shopping Center. And all you got to do is come by, turn your radio on to 107.1 anywhere in the parking lot, and you can listen to these messages playing throughout the day free of charge. You don't have to come get your car washed. But if you decide to come support this ministry by getting your car washed, you just come on in. And while you're waiting, you can, again, turn to 107.1 FM and hear these messages. You can go to WMCH, 1260 AM radio. That's where we air these Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. And finally, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find all of our archived messages. And you'll find all of Ecclesiastes that we've covered so far there on that webpage. And so we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We just finished up chapter 8 in our last teaching, and we'll go ahead and just do like we do in verse by verse format. We'll move on to the next verse and the next chapter. And Solomon, I kind of ended abruptly in our last teaching because I ran out of time, but Solomon kind of ends chapter 8. Chapter 8 was probably my favorite chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, and again, I encourage you to go back to washandword.com. You can listen to those messages. But Solomon is just basically summing up that, you know, no matter where you look or how difficult life seems, and it all goes back to the same thing. You know, God is in control. Life is a gift, and we should not squander it by consuming ourselves with anything other than the enjoyment of worshiping God. And yes, there is enjoyment when we worship our Father. He is the ultimate provider and source of enjoyment. And the problem with the world is, and you know this because I'm sure you've experienced it, we seek and have sought countless other ways for enjoyment, only to find out they end in failure. So let's get back to worshiping God. Let's get back to enjoying life. And let's move forward becoming more like our Savior. With that, we're going to go ahead and get into the chapter 9 in the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have your Bibles, open up to chapter 9 and we'll begin in verse 1. We're going to do things a little bit differently these next couple of messages. I'm going to read most of the chapter now, but we're going to expound upon it over the next two, maybe three messages. So bear with me as we read chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And it says, "So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who don't. As it is with the good man, so with the sinner, and as it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in the hearts while they live. And afterward, they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. Even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life, in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might, For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. And I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. We're going to stop right there. Now, I know that was a mouthful. That was 12 verses, but I had to read them all together because the next few messages are going to be a summary of what Solomon is talking about here. And he's switching gears from the unpopular message of obeying government in chapter 8 to the even more unpopular message that is of death. Reminded me of a joke one time I heard. A guy comes out of the doctor's office and he went to the doctor's office, and then he goes home, and the next day the doctor calls him and with the test results, and the guy says, "Well, how bad is it, doc?" And he says, "Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news." And the man says, "Uh-oh, well, I guess, give me the good news." And the doctor says, "Well, the good news is you've only got 24 hours to live." And the man was flabbergasted and said, "What? That's the good news? What could possibly be worse than that? What's the bad news?" And the doctor says, "I was supposed to call you yesterday." Death. Oh, one of my most favorite topics to talk about, because I love watching the squirming that goes on when we start talking about death. Listen, there isn't a more unpopular topic to preach from a pulpit than the topic of death. But friends, I give you a title for this 12 verses that we read in chapter 9, and that would be this: Death, the End of the Beginning. And there are few topics that are so taboo in society. The mere mention of them sends people in the other direction and causes major uncomfortableness and forces the topic to change. And perhaps the topic of death is on the top of that list. But you can find it in other taboo topics. As soon as you start talking about Jesus, you can watch the tide of a group or a person's ear turn. As soon as you start talking about hell or sin or judgment, you'll notice an immediate reaction from the crowd. People just don't want to hear about certain topics. But that's the point that needs to be made, that we have to hear these things. And the Mac Daddy of them all is the topic of death. And from the outset, I have to say that outside of being in a saving relationship with Christ, there is nothing I could say that will ease your fear of death. Nothing that will make death a more comfortable thought. But I can say this to you. Outside of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, death is and should be the most terrifying thing you ever think about or will ever face. Friends, outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, death should make you uncomfortable. Death should terrify you, because if you don't have Christ, death is the most and worst thing that could possibly happen to you. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I have no comfort for you. I have nothing else to offer you on the subject of death. I have no hope to give you outside of Jesus Christ. Outside of that relationship, there is nothing I can say to ease your fear. That is, if you should be afraid at all. And there are a lot of you out there who think that death is the end and that there is no afterlife, and so you don't fear death at all. But in the words of Brundle Fly, be afraid, be very afraid. An obscure reference, if you got that one, you know, good for you. But what I can tell you though is this: I do have hope for you while you're still alive. While you still have time, death can be dealt with. Death doesn't have to be the end. Death could be the end of the beginning. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he still may be found. Call on him while he is near. 28 verse 9. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. It's pretty cut and dry. Solomon's talking about one of the worst subjects that there can be. But Jesus Christ came to make that subject not a fearful experience, but almost one that we look forward to in anticipation. In fact, the more you draw closer to Jesus, the more you become an alien in this world, the more you feel that push and that desire to be brought back to your Heavenly Father, to the place that you belong. Friends, we don't belong here. We are sojourners in a foreign land. Our home is in heaven. And if you are relying upon your goodness or any other religion outside of the saving grace of Jesus Christ through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, then you will face an eternity apart from God. There's no other way to say it, and there's no other way to put it in a way that's going to make you feel good. There are no feel-good words when it comes to choosing Jesus Christ. You either choose him and be saved, or you reject him and be damned. I told you in the beginning, it's not a popular message. And death is such a taboo subject, and it's so hard to face and to talk about and to deal with, that I've even found many born-again believers struggle with the reality. It is that frightening and that unpopular, and it is that real, but it doesn't have to be that way. And the best we can do is just make some observations about it. And again, you know, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no hope. But what can we say about it? Well, again, a few observations. The first and most obvious observation about death is this. Friends, please listen. Death was not part of God's original plan. It wasn't. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" You see, God's plan was for Adam to live and Eve to live forever. There was not to be death. The only way death was going to enter the world was if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we all know the story. And since this is such a heavy subject, I want to end with a lighthearted story. Here is the actual account of the fall. "And God populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach, green and yellow vegetables of all kinds, so men and women who would live long and healthy lives. And Satan created McDonald's, and McDonald's brought forth the 99-cent double cheeseburger. And Satan said to man, 'You want fries with that?' And man said, 'Supersize them,' and man gained pounds. And God created healthy yogurt, that woman might keep her figure that man so admired. And Satan brought forth chocolate, and woman gained pounds. And God said, 'Try my crispy fresh salad.' And Satan brought forth ice cream, and woman gained pounds. And God said, 'I have sent you healthy heart vegetables and olive oil from which to cook them.' And Satan brought forth chicken fried steak, so big it needed its own platter. And man gained pounds, and his bad cholesterol went straight through the roof. And God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose those extra pounds. And Satan brought forth cable TV and remote control, so man would not have to toil to change channels, as man gained pounds. And God said, 'You are running up the score, devil.' And God brought forth the potato, a vegetable natural, low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off the healthful skin and sliced the starchy centers into chips and deep fat fried them. And he created sour dip cream also. And man clutched his remote control and ate the potato potato chips swaddled in cholesterol, and Satan saw and said, "It is good," and man went into cardiac arrest, and God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery and gastric bypass surgery, and then Satan created HMOs. Well, that's all I got for today, but we'll get back into it tomorrow. Have a blessed day.